He was sown. And he was resurrected. And on the day of Pentecost, the church was planted. That's the early rain. And do you see what the early rain did?
Yeah.
The early rain showed out. Peter shadowed healed people.
Yes.
I mean, he stood up and preached a little message from Joel. All he did was read. I mean, he wasn't doing no heart sweating there. He just said, oh, this is what Joel was talking about. And 3,000 came. But see, that was a work of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
Let me tell y'all about latter rain. The scripture refers to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And, well, I better go to Hosea and read that. Okay. Rain speak of abundance of the Holy Spirit. Abundant supply.
Yeah.
See, Peter and them, they had abundant supply on them. And rain always speaks of the Holy Spirit. That's one of his emblems. We studied that in our Holy Spirit book. Mm-hmm. That rain was one of the emblems of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the ways the Holy Spirit shows himself.
Yeah.
But we're talking about in abundance, an abundant supply. I mean, just running over, just in a conversation. People were asking Peter, well, what must we do to be saved? You know, I mean, you know, 5,000 added to the church. I mean, in big numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was an outpouring.
Yes, glory.
The latter rain got an outpouring to come. We got our outpouring because we are taking things out of here.
Yeah.
And Jesus is not going to start something one way and then wiggle it down. It'd be nothing, you know.
That's right.
We're going out with an outpouring.
Yes,
you think Lord. Peter, James, and John then was, you know, something to watch. Woo! Praise God. The outpouring is coming. The latter rain.
Yes.
And the latter rain, I'm not going to be able to get over in those chapters to show you that. The latter rain could be going over in the foreign country. And we probably don't see it here like we, but let me tell you, go to Zechariah 10th chapter.
Right.
Asking of the Lord rain and time of the latter rain. Do y'all know it's time for the latter rain?
We're supposed to keep asking, right? The preacher was wrong.
Yeah.
When he said he wasn't going to ask anymore, he was wrong.
Right. He said ask. In the time of ask for rain. Pray when you're praying. Don't just pray, Lord, send the rain. Say, Lord, send the latter rain.
Yes.
Tell him which one you want. The latter rain.
Harvest rain all over the place. But we want the latter rain too.
Yeah, the latter rain. We're praying. We're asking. Zechariah said, ask for the rain in this time of the rain. We says the latter rain will bring an abundance of God's presence.
Ooh,
see, we're talking about the greater glory.
Yeah.
It's going to bring an abundance of his presence.
Glory.
That we're still talking about the greater glory. I ain't got out of that yet, y'all. Y'all be patient with me. Like I said, I had 2 years locked up in me, so.
All right.
I had been promising the greater glory teacher for 2 years.
Yes.
So they're trying to be patient with
me
because I'm releasing
it today. Are you going to keep on?
I'm teaching it today. I'm teaching it from the latter rain aspect.
Uh-huh.
The latter rain is the abundance of God's presence.
Because there's a whole lot more people that are Christians that are full with God's presence on earth today than there was in the early rain.
Yes. Woo! Yes. Yes. Yes.
So, glory.
Praise God. So, now, do what James is asking us to do in James 5 and 7.
That's right.
James has asked us to do something. What did James ask us to do?
Be patient.
Establish your heart. Because he's waiting for the early and latter rain. Now, see, to a farmer, the early rain by itself is not enough. You got to get that latter rain if you want a harvest. And so this is connected to his coming, to his return,
yes,
okay?
Yes.
This is connected to the Lord's return.
Amen.
The early rain and the latter rain.
Yeah.
Okay, we have that.
Yeah.
And Zechariah said, ask for it. He said, ask of the Lord. Don't ask man. Don't ask the weatherman. But ask of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds. The Lord going to do it. He'll bring it. If you get hungry and thirsty enough to ask for it and cry out for it. Said, he shall make bright clouds. That's them glory clouds.
Glory.
The greater glory clouds, and give them shower of rain to everyone grass in the field. You know, the latter rain is very important to our time. Like I said, we saw the early rain on the day of Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
We saw the early rain. But it says God is waiting for the early rain and the latter rain. He's waiting for the latter rain. And that's what we are to go after, the rain.
Mm-hmm.
The rain is one of the emblems of the Holy Spirit, where he brings out an abundance of supply.
Yes,
Joel explained it like this, says an outpouring.
Amen.
Abundant supply.
You know, during the outpouring, we're also commissioned to keep asking, even after outpouring's great and grow, as it keeps on saying, ask you the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So we're not only supposed to get it going, we're supposed to keep it going.
Yes.
Look at the snapshot of the early church. They got the early rain.
Yeah, they kept
they were even going to a prayer meeting, or they were coming from one, or going. They stewarded it well.
Amen.
They stewarded it very well.
Yes.
They knew what it was take to get the latter to early rain, and they knew what it was going to take to keep it.
Amen.
They stayed in prayer. They stayed in connection with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
They knew what it was going to take to do it.
Amen.
So, we are looking for his return. We also looking for the latter rain.
Yes, amen.
Praise God. So, we read from Zechariah where he said, ask for it. Now, let's go to Hosea 6 and 3. Hosea 6 and 3. Sixth chapter in the third verse. You know, I was saying the scripture referred to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit as the early and the latter rain. And so let's read Hosea 6 and 3. It said, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as rain, as the latter and former rain. Unto the earth.
Amen.
You know, here we see it as an outpouring of an abundance, abundant supply to do what we need to do in these latter times. The early rain they had at the early church, they had abundant supply. Like I told them, Peter's shadow healed people.
Yes.
I mean, and people looked at that and they, you know, they began to see an abundant supply of God.
Yes.
And even the people said, these men has come here and turned our world upside down.
Amen.
I mean, you know, things are different. You know, it's more people coming to the Lord than, you know, than what the norm.
Yes.
I'm way over my time. An apostle, I'm going to not do like I did last week. Teach almost an hour and a half. But do y'all see the importance of the latter rain? The latter rain, the early rain and latter rain is connected to the return of the Lord.
Yes,
you want to see the coming of the Lord, the return of the Lord? Zechariah said, ask for the latter rain.
Amen.
That's what I'm just going to disconnect right here and give it to Apostle because I'm behaving.
All right.
So if somebody tell you he could come tomorrow, then we're looking for the latter rain. That happens. You know, when, think about it, when Daniel, in his day and time, looked at those 70 weeks and didn't see what he was, it didn't line up. He said, I know it's time, it's been time for God to bring this prophecy before. So he fasted and prayed. He said, Lord, you know, I'm looking here, this should be, you know. And God revealed it to him and taught him, even sent the angel here to teach him about what was going on. So let's ask for the latter rain. And thank God for the latter rain. So Lord, I thank, and like I said, the latter rain could be going all over there in the foreign country. But we want to see it in the United States.
Yes, and amen. Hallelujah.
We got a harvest to get here. We got a maturity to bring to the body. Okay, Apostle.
All right, I pick up right here in Hosea 6 and 3.
What now?
I pick up.
Blow your trumpet now. Blow your trumpet.
He said in Hosea 6 and 3. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. And that's the key part.
Yes, amen.
In everything that we do.
It's important. It's very important. Very important.
If we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning.
What he's saying, he's already prepared. God ain't trying to get nothing together. He's already prepared.
And he should come.
He's going to do it. You know how some movie strips on TV, as they go, they write things in, you know, they write a strip in, or they may write somebody out, you know, as they go on. But this is already prepared. It's already prepared.
Yeah. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth.
He's coming to us the rain, and we praise God for that. But I surely want y'all to know it's connected to his return.
Yes.
I want y'all to know that. You'll be some smart students if you know that. Because people going to say, you know, well, he can come tomorrow, or he can come next day. And people looking, you know, they're like, and you should look for the Lord.
Yes, because he tells us that.
But his coming back is connected to the rain. Okay?
When we follow him.
All right. Apostle, go ahead and teach whatever you're teaching. We finish you with it. Okay?
Well, as we follow him, that's where the power is. One thing I learned from the Lord, anything you're doing in this world on God's behalf, it's not without challenge.
Amen. You're
right. Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you the easy way. I love the easy way. The easy way, a mechanic told me, he said, don't fix cars the hard, do everything the easy way. Do it, make it simple. Don't make it complicated, make it simple and do it right.
The anointing calls for others.
Good advice. Now, when I used to go in his presence, I started sensing things. Mm-hmm. And then when he called me to the ministry, I felt like, I don't know what to do. And I was right where God wanted me, because I asked him, and I preached what he said, and it would work. And then I would train. I would go in his presence and learn from him. And he would give me what to do, and I'd do it. And that's easy. I was saying earlier in the first class, people try to learn God's word like it's just another book, like it's a manual. You know, if you want to be a mechanic, you can read mechanic. They make teaching manuals to help you understand the car. All right, you can learn that. That's not spiritually discerned. The Word of God is spiritually discerned.
Amen.
Spiritually
discerned.
So is the Holy Spirit, because the Word came from His heart.
Amen.
And it was written down. Mm-hmm. It's life in it. It's anointed. And it's spiritually discerned. Mm-hmm. The way we receive, we receive his word, we believe it. Amen. And then once you're introduced to it, you can receive it or you can reject it. Amen. Now, and people who have a love for God, they receive it. How much will you receive? That's up to the person. In order to have faith, the faith you need to get something done, you have to just receive enough of God's word to get the job done. If you receive just enough to get the job done, and then you're challenged, it depends on how much you're challenged. You may not get the job done. But if you receive enough of God's word to get the job done, and then enough to protect, to fight and withstand the fight and the challenge, and enough to have joy, now you're going to get the job done with joy. If you do just enough to get the job done and to contend for the faith and fight back, and that's all, you'll do it, but you won't have as much joy. Or you'll barely do it. Like the Philippians, you have a little strength. They had enough strength to stand and last. Why not receive enough of God's word to get the job done, full of joy and content?
Amen. Glory to God.
Now, what you're doing, some people study enough so that they can live and survive this life.
So the decision's yours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The way you measure it, it'll be measured back to you. Mm-hmm. Trouble's coming when you're trying to do God's will.
So that's what he was asking for you in James, to get established heart. The word of God will give you an established heart.
Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. And that's what it takes. That's where the latter rain comes from. Because people bear fruit after their kind. And the Lord taught me this. If you're gonna bear fruit that follow God, you gotta receive enough for you to live, enough to get the job done, whatever God's setting you to do, and enough word to contend for the faith. People who contend for the faith, they produce fruit that contend for the faith. We have one thing in common. Every member of this church has something in common. We're fighters.
Amen. We're winners.
We're victorious. You may be survivors at first, but you learn to be victorious because
Amen.
Our pastor is victorious.
Amen.
He trains to be victorious.
Amen.
We're
champions.
And He said, this is a training house of champions.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
When you say something, you're establishing something.
Amen. You do. Power
That's
in your
good.
Words.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So his fruit will be no different.
Amen.
And what does fruit do? They produce more fruit.
Good. Glory to God.
I've seen things that my children have done at their age. They have a whole lot more vision than I did at their age.
Mm-hmm.
I was probably in my, I don't know, early 30s when I had the vision that they're walking in.
Wow.
So it is with every, when you talk, a person that's barely getting along, he produces fruit that barely gets along. This takes time. God's been moving for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
A very long time. Things he put in motion in the 70s, 80s, the fruit of it still growing and gaining momentum. And I don't know how to evaluate the move of God. If you're looking at people and what they do and think and say, you know, how many people is that that you run into in a day's time? 100? 50? And, you know, in your circle where you go. But God is thinking big.
Amen. Amen.
Massive. You know, we come to church and people are blessed. So a few people come and visit and get blessed. People get tapes and give them out, you know. But we're on TV. Now, how many people out there are growing and receiving miracles You know, we have evidence that people have watched TV and gotten healed. Brother Horton was one. His foot was hurting so bad he couldn't go to church, so he watched him on TV. He watched it on YouTube, mm-hmm. and Pastor prayed for him. He was healed right there on his couch.
My husband was healed too. The very first day he walked into this church, coming in here, and I thought I was gonna have to take him to the hospital. I called the ambulance and sent him, have him go to the hospital, but. We got here.
Uh-huh.
First time. Bypass the original church where we were at because I met Pastor McCann just passing by and he prayed for me concerning the matter. And then I said, how about we go to this church, honey? I know you'll like it. Uh-huh. But he came in and Pastor McCann was operating in the spirit of knowledge. Uh-huh. And he spoke out migraine headaches. Mm-hmm. And he said it, my husband looked at me and I looked at him, he said it three times. I said, get up there. God wants to touch you and heal you, honey. And he got healed.
What the hell,
man? I wanted to read something else from the Passion Translation. Sorry, I didn't order them on time, but I'll get it done this week. Now it's time to be made beautiful. Ephesians 4 and 23, and then on 5 and 13, it says, whatever the revelation light exposes, it will also correct, and everything that reveals truth is light to the soul.
Okay, read that again, and read it a little louder. Read it again.
Okay.
Ephesians,
number 5, whatever the revelation light exposes,
mm-hmm.
it will also correct.
Yeah.
Woo.
And everything that reveals truth is light to the soul.
Yes,
thank you. Yep. And see, when people receive the word of God, it makes the difference. Now, when He guides us, I was gonna go back in this here and. She's talking about the martyr's grace. This is very important. Stephen did what I'm talking about. He gave a synopsis of the Word of God, the Torah, at that time, and in his dialogue. And there was a Pharisee listening to him. They had orders to kill the Christians and take them and put them in jail. And he was holding the coats of the martyrs. And they all heard what Stephen said. And then while he was talking, they closed their ears. Now, that's unbelief. They didn't want to believe. They closed their ears so they couldn't hear him because his word was true.
Yes.
And they could not deny it. But they did that. The ones that closed their ears, that's unbelief. Unbelief is rejection.
Mm-hmm.
But the word, anybody that has, people that have is to hear, don't always act right. Pharisee Saul heard, he had a love for God, and he heard things in a corrected way, greater than what he was taught through the eyes of idolatry. That's why Jesus said on the Damascus Road, he said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Those were the pricks.
Amen.
Stephen's message is why he came to the Lord.
Amen.
He said, who are you, Lord? Lord. He called him Lord. That's when he got saved, when he called him Lord. Who are you? And he said it from the heart. The word.
You know why he said that? He saw a light. He got revelation. He saw who he was.
Just like she was reading.
Yeah, I was just thinking. Just like she just,
that he could call him Lord.
Yeah. Now, Stephen had enough word, not only to do it, just enough strength to do the dialogue, but to do the, to live, because he was a godly man. He had enough faith to contend. He wasn't afraid of death. He had enough word to do God's work.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it with joy.
Yes, he did. Amen.
Yes, he did.
And he did it on purpose.
Yes, amen.
And saw her. That's the power of the word. Now, he didn't get saved that day. He was carrying out orders.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he got permission to do this thing. It was still in his heart to kill. But on the Damascus Road, when he got knocked down in the presence of Jesus,
uh-huh.
"Who are you, Lord?" The word rose up. Now he made the adjustment. The anger's gone. The peace is in. The joy is increasing. He went and got his eyesight.
Mm-hmm.
And he became Apostle Paul.
Amen. Thank God for Apostle Paul.
No.
Amen. Thank God for
him. Even you said to live, and I just
splashed right into. He had enough to do the work, to live, and to continue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we have to receive the word. You don't learn the word like a manual, you receive it.
Yes.
It becomes faith, and you speak it. And act on it.
That's good.
Revelation. Uh-huh.
And then you learn from everything.
But how many times a day are you saying, "My words, the Lord shall not allow my words to fall to the ground"?
He never does.
I know, but how many times a day
are
you saying that?
I done it? Zero today. Zero yesterday. The day before. But you've evidently got a revelation of it, so I do not let my words fall to the ground.
Mm-hmm. Lord will not allow your words to fall to the ground. The heritage of the children of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you better be careful what you speak.
Yes.
And it keeps coming back to me, John 15 and 7. Mm-hmm. Now this Bible that I have, this one. That,
is it John 15?
Yeah, John 15 and 7. It says here, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you,
mm-hmm.
ye shall ask what you will,
mm-hmm. and it will
be done unto you."
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking about James over there, where he read, be patient, establish
mm-hmm.
your heart. We can
the bunch of words fall.
Who gives us patience? Where do we get our patience for?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's already in us. But you have to be it. You have to allow it to be. You have to grow in patience.
Yes.
You know.
And remain in the word, because we can't.
That's where your strength comes from.
Yeah,
I'm closing. I close with this.
The Passion Translation says, "But if you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire, and it will
be done."
Mm-hmm.
And I close with this.
But in the Aramaic, it says, "My words take hold and are strong within you."
Ooh, I like that.
In James 5:7, it says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and has long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws near. Grudge not."
I'm telling you, it draws near.
Grudge
we're
not.
We have to come out of this. It's 10:20 now. This is good, but we got to come out of it.
All right, grudge not.
Because we're actually going to walk out that door in a little bit.
He said, "Grudge not one against another, brother, unless ye be condemned. Behold, the judge."
We got to come out of it.
All right, so.
Okay.
As we go forward, we're going to win. We're in him. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for all that you're doing. Help us do all that's in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.